weird without Kaylin.
Because normally she's the one who does our stuff. Without Kaylin, who's going to be introducing us?
Oh, yeah. I guess I can do it. Welcome, everybody, to Rough Around the Hedges. I'm Christine.
Oh, I'm so used to that. I know. Not Kaylin here. I'm Mackie.
And I'm Katie.
Yeah, this week we have Katie. Katie is a fellow plant friend, parent person, and from our group and listener of the show.
Listener of the show. Okay, cool. I'm not completely caught up, but I listened to a bunch of episodes yesterday while I was doing my nails. So
I'm a narcissist, and I just assume that all of our friends are listening to our show, and I'm like, I don't know.
I actually fell behind because I was on vacation for a couple of weeks, and I was with my family and stuff. So I was listening to some yesterday. So
cool.
It's funny. I'm the exact opposite. I assume nobody's listening.
Right.
Yeah.
So this week we're just going to do a plenty chat and
okay.
Hang out. Kaylin's sick this week, so we brought Katie on. Katie graciously accepted last minute to come on.
Yeah, I have no idea what I got myself into. I'm absolutely horrified of the idea of hearing my voice.
Oh, that's good.
And I'll try not to make an ass of myself and drop F-bombs every 5 seconds.
Yeah. So Katie, what's your favorite genus to grow, or what do you like growing? What's your collection like?
Right now I've got a lot of anthuriums, and I just irresponsibly bought a bunch of Hoyas because I got a third cabinet for my birthday.
And obviously you have to fill it.
Yeah. Thanks, Mark, who's a bad influence. those are kind of my two favorites right now. I mean, I have a little bit of everything. I've been doing this for a really long time. Mm-hmm. So I've gone through different phases of different things. This is actually my second Hoya phase.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm still technically in my first Hoya phase.
Yeah. So going into COVID, I had 50 plants mm-hmm. at that point, mm-hmm. but it was still pretty common stuff. I was just getting my Home Depot. I hadn't actually been to a specialty plant shop, or I hadn't been to Tonka Dale or anything like that. And I started hearing about Hoyas from a coworker and started dorking out a little bit and, got a poop calyx, and it blew up. And then I was just I'm going to buy a whole bunch of Hoyas. Yeah. So I did. And then I was I'm going to put them all in pond. And the things did not go well.
Right.
So I took a break for a while and did some other stuff. And then, I got my cabinets, and because my cat's a terror and eats all my plants.
Sure.
And they just started taking off crazy in there, And I'm I think I might have figured this out. I got the right soil mix. I got the right lighting, humidity, mm-hmm. and they've just been blowing up.
So are you an anti-pond for Hoya person too?
I'm not.
Oh, you're not.
I'm okay. not. I don't have good luck starting them in pond. Mm-hmm. I kind of start them in LECA, mm-hmm. or I leave them in a chunky soil mix if that's what I get them in. But if I'm starting cuttings, I usually will start them in LECA. And then if I want it in pond, if I know it's a thirsty one,
sure,
I'll put it in pond.
Yeah.
And then see how it goes. And then if I put it in pond and it's not really doing anything for a while, I'll take it out and just see how it is. And then maybe go back into LECA or back into soil. Each one of them is different.
Yeah.
And I have a really, really good luck with anthurium mm-hmm. in pond.
Oh, sure.
So but I'm kind of getting back into trying with LECA because I have some that have been doing really good.
Yeah.
So.
I was going to say, I kept my first clarinervium in LECA for a year and it did fantastic. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But that's been my experience pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah. And I do I have to, they grow really fast, the anthurium. So I have to pull them out regularly and check them. And
your face. I can't get anthurium to grow, period, for me. So
really, I don't.
I just can't.
So speaking of anthurium, so you remember how we were having that discussion about pests? And I was like, oh, yeah, I just keep anthuriums mixed in. And that's how I know when I get pests is.
Oh, sure.
Because their leaves are so delicate.
Yeah.
Jane Perrone just had her 300th episode where one of her guests was like, yeah, I keep anthuriums just for the thrips.
Really?
Apparently thrips are drawn to her anthurium, so she just leaves them there as sacrificial plants.
Really?
She doesn't care about the anthuriums. So she's got a warrock, a king and queen, all that, and fancy ones.
Was her guest in the UK?
Yeah.
Are anthuriums cheaper there? Because that's a pretty expensive sacrificial plant.
Yeah, she was, apparently she tried to grow them or something like that, and then she just noticed that they got pests all the time, and now she doesn't care, but they keep pests off the rest of her plants, so she leaves them in there.
That's insane.
That's the best use of an anthurium I have ever seen. I'm sorry, I'm not an anthurium fan.
If they were $5-10 bucks, sure.
Yeah.
But
Especially yeah. with the seeds going for like 40, 50 bucks a seed nowadays.
It's yeah, some of it's a little nuts. And I don't, like, I have one that I paid three figures for mm-hmm. When it was pretty new on the market. And it's done really well for me. And it's been really, like, hardy. And it grows really well. And it's easy. So, like, but I generally won't spend a ton yeah. on mm-hmm. them. And I honestly, like, I don't have the space for a million. And, like, I'm at this point in, like, my journey where, like, even with Hoyas, like, they have to look different from each other mm-hmm. because I'm also, like, a display person. So, like, yeah. I like them to look nice in my house. I want to be able to see them, you know, when I'm just, like, walking around doing stuff. And I don't want them to all look the same. So, like, that's kind of how I make some of my choices about, like, so do funny. I want this yeah. or not want this one, you know? Like, yeah. I have to like the qualities of it. I have to, like, be ready to invest the time in it. But I also don't want a 15 clarinarium hybrids that all look the same.
Yeah. Right?
I'm the same with Hoya. Like, my yeah. only, like, just green-leafed Hoya is the India. Everything else, like, it has to have, like, a venation pattern to it. It's got variegation yeah. or, like, it's just a massive leafed plant.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've been the same.
Yeah, like or like different. It's a different texture than the ones I have, or it's fuzzy, yeah. or I'm really into like the small leafed ones. So like
I used to be in such a large leaf kick, and then recently I've been like super into the small leafed ones.
Yeah.
I got a Rotunda Flora and I'm like in love with it.
I just got one.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I also got a Globulus at the same time. Yeah. So same.
You know, for how bland and boring those Indias with the Hoya Spa India, you would think it would be that leaf shape and the cardboardy texture yeah. of them. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's just,
it's a cool one.
It's a
yeah.
cool one. Like, it's not visually stunning, but yeah. like, it's a pleasing plant to me. That's why I've always.
Yeah. But you see people like go crazy for like Multiflora yeah. and like even Iris Marie. And it's like, oh, they're just.
That the fact that it's a Hoya that doesn't hold its leaves up to the light and then it kind of just lets them plop oh, sure. down and dangle. Mm-hmm. That's what I really liked about them because mm-hmm. I like things with the dangly leaves.
Yeah.
I've never been that into Multiflora until I was just like sitting on Etsy, which is a bad idea. And I saw a silver one.
Oh,
and
sure.
I was like, this thing is beautiful, yeah. but I'm like, not for that price tag.
Yeah. Which is funny. Yeah. I've never had a Multiflora either. It's been on my wish list for years, but my issue with it was way back in the day, they were $2 to $5 for a cutting.
Mm-hmm.
And then the pandemic hit, and I just don't want to pay what they're asking now. So I yeah. don't have one.
The flowers are cool, but I'm just like, eh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The only reason I really wanted it was because it's easy to bloom.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm kind of.
Speaking of easy to bloom, oh, shoot. The Papasconii.
Mm-hmm. Papasconii.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the ones we got from Pam.
Mm-hmm.
Mine's already putting out seed pods.
Really?
Oh my God.
Yeah.
No, nice. Surprise. So Pam, mine's
already, yeah, mine's already wanting to make more of itself.
My Mia Pernesis bloomed like crazy. Mm. It was really easy. And it blooms from like every single node.
Oh, wow.
Like all the way to the vine.
That's like Pollinera. Yeah.
But at the same time, like then all of a sudden it just rotted and died.
Oh, fun.
So like... I have a new one on the way because I really did like that one. And it was like, can't stop, but stop like growing for like 3 months that sure. I had it. And then all of a sudden, all of like, it got really dry, you know, and I went and watered it and fertilized it. And I came back like 2 days later and like pernuncles yeah. up every node. Wow. I was like, what is going on with this thing? I've never bloomed a Hoya before.
Oh,
well,
I've only ever bloomed like. I bloomed a couple, but my first one was a Carnosa and it was like probably 7 feet long and it got one peduncle.
Yeah.
One little batch of flowers. It's like, cool. And then I repotted it and it died.
Yeah. And the flowers are cool, but like, I'm definitely a foliage person. So like,
yeah,
it's just kind of an extra bonus when it happens. Or like when I open my cabinet and I just get the whiff of yeah. like the smell of it, that something had bloomed. Yep. And I'm like, oh yeah. And I'm running to my pitches to my friends.
That's what draws me to Hoyas is the scent. I'm a, that's the kind of sensory input I like is the smell.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a good one.
Yeah.
Doesn't have to be I haven't
come across a quote unquote urine one yet.
I haven't either.
Pascaliana's always going to be my favorite because yeah. of butterscotch. But the Publicalyx chocolate smell is really good, too.
For me, yeah. it's the Lacanosa old lady perfume no. smell. That's my favorite one.
I can't stand it.
My Clistophilia didn't really have a smell.
No.
Neither did the Sunrise.
I don't remember for Sunrise.
I got a thing of cuttings yeah, from yeah. Kaylin, and like one of them had a pedunk on it. Like, and I didn't expect anything from it, and it like... bloomed for me and it had like sure. no scent to it. But also, maybe I'm just not super sensitive to it.
Cardata Sumatra didn't have a smell for me either
no.
that I could tell.
Is that thing super slow growing? Because I have a yes. rooted like two-leaf cutting, and I can't tell if it's doing anything because it also looks like a dead stick. Since the last time we were at the brewery or the
Urban Forage,
yeah, like because I went to the Hoya event before that, and somebody gave it to me.
Oh, that was just only a couple months. Yeah, mine took a solid year and a half before I started like being like, okay, I'll grow.
Clemensorium that I got from you that day has put out several leaves. And
I can't get mine to grow.
It actually had a little stick on it that I cut off that had a little bit of root and I stuck that in and the stick is rooted. So like, we'll see.
No, I mean, I love it.
I don't know if it's going to grow, but like I can't pull it out of the pot. Yeah. So we'll see what happens.
Is yours in higher humidity?
Yeah, I don't do a ton on my cabinets to keep the humidity high. I mean, they really are there for cat protection more than anything. And just because they look pretty in my office. It gives me like beautiful ambiance and great lighting when I'm on Zoom and all that kind of stuff. So like, but yeah, I kept it in whatever you gave it to me in soil. And then I put it in the cabinet. Cabinets stay around like 70. I mean, I have them weather stripped, but I don't, but I do keep like a lot of semi-hydro in there. So it just naturally stays kind of humid.
Yeah. Mine's living in a little bit higher, more like 80 to 90. And maybe that's my next.
And I think there's like one grow light above it, but that particular cabinet is next to a south facing like window. Mm-hmm. So like it is getting some natural sunlight too. So I don't know. I mean,
I had wanted to throw that outside this summer, but I just didn't get around to it.
Yeah.
I probably still could and see effects. I don't know. This has been such a weird summer. It's been so cold.
Well, compared to the last two, it's been weird. Like it never felt it like we're halfway through and I feel like it never actually hit like
summer.
Speed, you know, like, but you know, 2 years ago it was 100 degrees and June 4th. And
I was going to say, like, this is actually more of an average Minnesota summer in my case. This is what it's supposed to be. Cause like right now I'm talking to my Mimi and she's down in Texas and she's like, we've been at 105 for plus a while. The last month. And I'm like, ouch.
Yeah. My friend in Austin sends me pictures of like the temperature gauge in her car, like all the time. Yeah. And she's like, why did I move here?
Yeah. The like 50s at night, I would say is not super normal, but my Serpens has been loving it. I put my Serpens outside.
Oh, did you?
And it's, you know, in the Himalayas, it's used to being around 50 degrees and it's taken off.
Interesting.
I was going to say, I have noticed slower growth on my succulents this year, but the growth is stronger and meatier. So like, I feel the temperature swings at night are, a lot of my stuff's like winter growers and they're actively growing because of the lower temperature. Sure. So I'm content with what's going on.
That is true. My little itty bitty Thanksgiving cactus has been going crazy with those lower temps.
Like all my Haworthia are, their leaves are expanding and usually they don't grow this time of year. So I'm like, this is nice. Yeah. I like this.
Yeah, unfortunately, that means we're probably going to have an average Minnesota winter, so I'm not excited about that.
I'm hopeful with the amount of rain that we'll have another mild snow winter, but
The last two have been like East Coast winters, and I'm like, I could be done with this, but the brutal cold, it's rough. It's part of like during COVID, why I kind of got back into plants again is like, I just needed some green and like being in my house all the time, which I love my house. I'm like an ultra introvert and I don't get lonely, but like, I was just like, I needed some green.
Yeah.
But
I'm the opposite where I could do cold all day long. I do not like snow.
Like Mark's like that.
Yeah.
Now that I don't work outside every day, I'm totally cool with the winters here now.
Yeah.
Doesn't bother me.
I should take that back. I don't like driving in snow, like while it's actively snowing. And of course that always seems to happen right as I'm getting off of work.
Yes. So
that freaks me out.
Yes. But yes.
That's why I will stay inside my house and watch 8 feet of snowfall all day long.
I remember driving home from the greenhouse when we had those snowstorms. It always sucked because I'd be like, it'd be 3 hours till the end of my shift. And I'd be like, I need to go because my car can't make it up the hill out of the parking lot.
Yep.
Winter tires, guys.
Winter tires. This is with winter tires. Prius.
Okay. Yeah, Prius. And I had like 4 inches off the ground. So any kind of snow.
I can't move. I was going to say, because yours has.
Well, now I can.
Now you have it. Yeah, Mark's got a CRV, which is great.
I don't slip and slide in my Prius. Priuses handle pretty well on ice because they're so heavy.
I was going to say they're heavier,
but their clearance is so low that if you have snow going above your bumper, you're not going anywhere.
And this is why I have lug nuts rolling around in my back seat because I had my winter tires taken off like 2 months ago and forgot they were back there. Thank God for Tonkadale boxes because I keep one in my trunk and they're kind of contained in the box.
I had a moment this morning where I was like, thank God I keep a cardboard tray in my car because I went to that plant sale and they're like, oh, hey, can you bring your own tray? I was like, oh, hey, I have them in my car. Thank you, Kaylin, for that, by the way.
Right.
I always keep one back there, but I'm like, it's like the most ADHD morning ever. Cause I was just like, I'm going to get up. I'm going, I'm going to get a coffee. Oh wait, I'm running early. I'm going to go to Home Depot and get a box for my lug nuts. Nope. I'm going to buy some plants. Yeah,
you should talk about your Home Depot plants. Cause now I'm intrigued and I might have to go on my way home.
I got an amazingly full and long string of dolphins. And then
Hatiora is the second one.
It's a Hatiora, yeah. I am a chronic mispronouncer, so
I am really bad.
Welcome.
It's okay. I pronounce like British people do because that's how I learned from British people.
Yeah. And then another Ripsalis. I didn't see what the name of that one was on it, though. Mm. Or not Ripsalis. Ripsalis?
It's the Hatiora. It's related to Ripsalis. It's in the same family, just different genes.
Sorry. They were like, oh, these are pretty. I'm going to get them. It wasn't like a plan. It's not like when I sit and I'm like, I'm going to go buy this Hoya or I'm going to go buy this thing where I'm really like thoughtful about it. Yeah. This was a total like, I got like 5 minutes. Let's roll through plants. Oh, I'm going to grab those.
Yeah. That's how I've been this entire summer. We'll be like, I've got some spending money. Let's go to Home Depot and see what they got. Home Depot and Tonkadale have been like my vices this year. Yeah. Where I'm like, I'm out there every week. I'm like, this is too much. And then I buy a bunch of stuff.
And you can't like, I can't pass up a $13 plant that looks like that. Yeah. Like, you just can't. That's like terrible.
Do they have any bananas by chance?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay. I miss my string of bananas so much. And like, I'm like, I want to get another string of, and I mean, if they're that cheap and
I got some full basket strings of things I can cut for you too. I mean, I've got my string of hearts is like on a shelf and it's going down and then across the next shelf and it's about to like dip off the other side. And I'm like, I should probably cut you at some point, but
I have a love hate relationship with hearts just because they grow so fast and so full, but they're so,
yeah.
I am struggling with
I think they're the catchiest of all of the strings.
Yeah. My string of hearts got mealy bugs. So I cut the vine off. So I'm down to just the caudex. And I've been waiting for like 4 months and it's not rotting, but it's not growing, but it's not rotting. So like, it's still alive and growing roots. So I'm like, maybe I'll get a vine. Maybe it'll die. I don't know.
I think string of pearls is the most sticky one because it's literally sticky and like they stick to each other and your fingers stick to them. And I know when I repotted mine, I about cried because I tried to be really careful and not get it tangled. And then I got it into the pot and it was just like stuck and tangled and my cat's trying to eat it. And, like, so I just was like, I got to chop you off.
Yeah. When you say sticky, what do you mean sticky? Sticky like resiny sticky or sticky
it's
like
almost tacky? like a sap, like a tack, because they grow up things and it's supposed to help them stick to whatever they're growing up. So they are literally like tacky. Like,
that is a nightmare.
Yeah, I've never experienced.
It definitely is when they start to like stick together. But I mean, I love it. It's super long and it loves my house. And I was terrified to buy strings of things because I'm like chronic over and underwater. And I'm like, I'm just going to kill it.
I've tried string of pearl 2 or 3 times and I've killed them very quickly. So I gave up. I didn't even know they were sticky. But like, that's just at work. We harvest sage and I'm like the one person who's leading the charge on wearing gloves. Cause I'm like, if sage I touch them, I like freak out.
Yeah.
It's just too sticky for me and I can't handle it.
I always like go into like a project with the intention of wearing gloves, or like I start with the gloves on and then repotting and stuff is such a tactile thing for me for some reason. I know it's like terrible for my nails and it's terrible for my hands and there's probably pesticides. I don't really use pesticides anymore, but like
when you're repotting from stores.
When I'm repotting from stores and stuff like that. And I just, for some reason, like I can't, I just need to touch it.
I was going to say, like, I don't wear gloves when I do anything. Like, I paint my nails just to cover up the dirt underneath them.
Yeah. Or, you know, I spend like 3 hours doing my nails and then I go repot something and there's like dirt underneath them, which is like ridiculous.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. I've had family members point out like, why are your nails always looking so nice if you are always digging in pots? It's like, they look so nice because I knew I was coming out today and I didn't want to clean under them. So I just painted them.
Yep. Yep. And I, you know, like, I probably would like being an outdoor gardener, but I don't have an outdoor garden because I really do like playing in dirt.
I've been trying to learn outdoor stuff for like the last decade. But the problem is every time I put something in our yard, it gets mowed over either by me not paying attention, which is 90% of the time. And then sometimes when Noah mows and he doesn't pay attention. So like, we mow over all our stuff all the time.
Yeah. I have a south facing deck. That's the only thing I can probably grow out there other than cacti, you know, is going to be tomatoes.
That's what my deck is. It's a south-facing deck, and that's why I have all my succulents out there.
You have actually like way more tree cover than I do. Mine's just like...
I wish I had more.
Oh my gosh, I have nothing.
Oh, because
it's a fairly new neighborhood, and there's no trees. Like, I'm kind of like perpendicular to another house. And like, so they can't put any big trees back there. And it's direct south.
Yeah. This is the first year where our old neighbor cut down her tree in her backyard and it was massive and it blocked the morning sun over the deck. So like I could just throw stuff out there and not have to like acclimate.
Yeah.
But then she cut it down last year and then moved out. And so now that there's no shade, so I have to use like shade cloth and I'm actually having to acclimate stuff. And I'm like, I don't like this.
Yeah. I think even if I was going to like put like a cactus out there, I still would have to like acclimate it a while because it's just, I mean, I could probably put it like under a table or something, but I'm also like terrified of getting spider mites. I mean, my husband has horrible allergies like year round. So our house is usually shut up with like brand new, like sealed windows and air conditioning going. So I've pretty lucky that unless I bring a pest in, I don't normally get them. I've had a couple mealy bugs show up on something that's like on a windowsill. And they've been, because I'm so neurotic about it, like I get them pretty quickly. But like I did, I think that my croton finally got spider mites because all the new growth just kept falling off.
Oh, sure.
And like it's right where the seal of the door is, like on my deck. So I'm just like, and I also see clover mites out there all the time on it. And I'm like, I just don't, I'm like terrified of bringing bugs into my house. Mostly because my husband, like every time he sees a fungus gnat, he's like, there's gnats. And I'm like, nematodes.
Yeah. For the last like 2 years, I've been, I'm not going to say struggling with mealy bugs because it hasn't necessarily been a struggle most of the time, but I definitely have pests like mealy bugs. I think it's funny because like in the winter they build up and build up this last winter because I was doing different stuff.
In the fall usually is when they show up.
And then I put them outside and then I have a bunch of wasps.
Oh, right. You train the wasps. South-facing wall.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, they like the heat. They love the heat.
So bad on my deck.
It used to be that I would go out there and I couldn't do anything because they would come up and they would like try to get me. Like it was like their territorial. Yeah. But then I started like spraying everything every morning with water and they're like, hey, you're watering us. And now they don't bother me. Yeah. And then I was out there watching them the other day and I watched one crawl over one of my epimeas and it was just eating the mealy bugs. And I was like, go for it.
Because as soon as it starts to cool down, like in the evenings, like the wasps, because it's that south facing wall. And then, you know, the Japanese beetles and the box elders, like they're just so bad that I can't even really go out on my deck. Maybe I'll just go out and hose it down every now and then. And that's when I do tend to see all of a sudden, maybe like on my jades that are in the windowsills, I might see a couple mealy bugs, you know, and I'll try to get to them really quick. But I will say the anthurium thing, because now I've got a couple alocasia. I didn't kill one. I've kept it alive for a month. You know what I did?
What?
I didn't put it in new soil when I got home. I'm pretty bad about doing that, but that's why I started getting into like doing more preventative bugs. So now I put sachets in like every month or so. And
that's what I'm switching back to this winter. Now that I have a better approach for root mealies using bugs, I'm going to go back to that because it's better, I feel.
Yeah.
Than everything I've been doing before.
I have a Hoya with a pretty bad mealy problem. Maybe I'll drop it off for your wasps to pick
it. Oh, God, yeah.
Right? Drop it over my house. I'll put it on my deck.
For years, I saw the wasps crawling all over my plants. I never really thought much of it. Yeah. I was just like, I just don't want to get stung.
As long as I don't eat them. Yeah.
Yeah, so I'd always just go out in the evening when they weren't around. Now it's like, I don't mind. As long as they don't like land on me, I'm okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I do notice that my pests do get knocked back pretty hard in the summer. And I'm like, this is awesome. And it's also great because you can just spray shit down outside.
Yeah.
That's been a lifesaver, especially for that Pachypodium succulentum.
Oh, sure.
That we used as a show art for mealybugs.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's looking good now.
Yeah. Yeah. I've thought about like, I need to take the ficus that I got from Kaylin out there and just hose it down because it's so hard to water.
Yeah.
You know, and just I can just like just dump water into it because it's so big that it's hard to like fully water it.
What kind of ficus?
It's an altissima. It's the one that I cut back.
Oh, nice.
Like hardcore.
Sure.
My altissima is just putting out leaves.
Yeah.
I just threw it outside.
I was going to say that might like be not on your south deck.
It could be, but again, it's like, I don't want to have. I'm just like, I don't want to deal with like acclimation and bugs.
There's no, for a ficus, for altissima, you don't need to acclimate.
And it's in my south facing, like right in front of my like sliding glass door.
Yeah, mine lives in front of a south and a west window in the winter. And then in the summer, I throw it outside, no acclimation, and it doesn't even burn. Yeah. Ficuses are built for full sun.
Oh, yeah. Like, I mean.
Like, even when they're poorly grown, they're still built for full
And I don't
sun.
Know where this whole like they're finicky thing comes from.
Oh, my God.
Honestly, I am so aggressive with moving them. I chop roots off. I cut all the leaves off.
That is a species thing of the Ficus benjamina. That's why ficus are so known as being so finicky. Like, because if you move those, even
they'll drop all their leaves.
It started with the benjaminas about 15 years ago. If you anytime you move them, they drop all their leaves.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then the fiddle leaf figs, I feel are like a little more hardy, less sensitive, but they are still pretty finicky. But I've never had a problem with any other ficus.
So and the elasticas are like super.
Yeah, the easy. Elasticas, the caudiciform ones.
I don't even find the benjaminas hard. So here's my benjamina story. Like I moved into an apartment in New York City, and these apartments were kind of long. So like the living room is in the middle, and it did have a window, but it looked into an alley. And like when we moved into this apartment, there was this like giant, like what looked like a dead benjamina, like in the living room. It had like three leaves left on it. And I was like, I don't know. Is it alive? Like, is it not alive? Cause obviously it wasn't getting any light. Like that was obvious. And this is like way back when I didn't know very much about plants. And so I just asked my mom, I'm like, well, how can I tell if it's alive? She's like, just cut into it. You know, if it's green, it's alive. So we did. And then cut into it. And this is also back when I like grew everything in blue bag, Miracle-Gro in terracotta pots, because that's the only thing that was within walking distance of my apartment. And so we repotted it and we threw it in this other room that was a west facing room and kind of a couple feet back from the window. And this thing within 3 months had just completely, it had filled out. It was growing like crazy. When I moved, I gave it to a friend the last time I saw a picture because he didn't do anything to trim it. It literally was like taking over his apartment.
Yeah. I was going to say with the Benjaminas, it's not so much the quality of care they're looking for. They're just looking for consistency.
Yeah. Consistency. And I think where I went wrong with my ficus in the beginning was I was just like, oh, tree. They would like to be drier. But I found they like way more water than you'd expect.
Yeah.
So definitely like just water them too. Just like
once a week or something. I just, you know, and as long as it's not like still like touchably wet, you know, it's usually okay because their roots are pretty hardcore. They don't get mushy really easily.
Yeah. I was gonna say, I don't grow any benjaminas, but my elasticas, I wait till the leaves start to droop because the only time I'm really watering them is in the winter. So like if they're not dropping leaves or the leaves aren't drooping, I'm not worried about them. And then my other ficus are all rock figs. So it's like the drier they are, the more happy they are. So I'm like, okay.
I struggle in the winter just because I can't keep their light. Strong enough for them.
This last winter, I just made them all go dormant. I was like, I'm not doing this. And I just didn't take care of them. And they all went dormant and put them outside. They all came back.
I have one under a 40 watt Soltec aspect and it's grown like crazy.
Mine started under the aspect over the winter, but then it got eventually shoved out of the way for plants I cared a little more about.
Yeah.
But
yeah. And that's kind of like what I got one to go right under that light because it's so bright.
Yeah.
And it's like something's got to go in here that's going to like utilize this light and not get too big.
Yeah.
Too fast. Yeah, or burn.
One thing that I was miffed about with my Altissima this year is it dropped all its leaves because I did let it go dormant. But that was because like I was dealing with my ADHD medication just never being in stock. And like,
oh my God.
I would get it for a month and then have to go off it for 2 months and go through withdrawals.
That's what I'm going through right now.
It was just terrible. Like I'm done with my Adderall. I haven't taken it in a long time. I just couldn't get anything done because I was just too busy dealing with that stuff.
That's funny because my coworker yesterday, he told me the, I guess, hot take in case you didn't realize, go to conservative towns and counties to get your refills because they don't, quote unquote, believe in, you know, mental illnesses and stuff.
Really?
So they just, their pharmacies are always in stock of the ADHD medications. He's like, yeah, I have to drive all the way to Chanhassen to get my medication, but.
Yeah, because I know
I've
been
have it in stock.
Waiting for 4 months for my last one to be refilled, and I'm still waiting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I'm done. I can't do this anymore.
Try like Elk River.
Yeah, right? I'm like, not worth it for me. Anoka. Sure. I mean,
at that point, I'm just like, I hate driving.
No, it's
true. So I'm just going to be like, no, no.
I think if I didn't have a job where I had to sit at a desk and focus, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm like, and be detail oriented.
Yeah.
Like, if I did something like you did where I was like, I was moving a lot and like, then I probably would be okay because like I'm okay when I'm at home and I'm like busy and stuff like that. But like I have to be so like detail oriented at work and I have to sit through meetings and I have to like stay engaged in conversations and like it's been really frustrating. And I know a lot of people I work with, like we have a whole Slack network of people who like we complain and we try to like help each other like track it down because it's just like it's gotten so bad and it's just really hard. Yeah. Like, but yeah, I mean, I can imagine like if you're like the yo-yo is like
Because, like, the dose I'm on, if I take it for a month, I go through 6 to 8 weeks of withdrawals.
Yeah.
Of just horrible, like, I get the physical symptoms, I get the mental symptoms, and it just sucks. I'm just like, I'm not doing this anymore. Yeah.
So, FDA, if you're listening, get your shit together.
Yeah. And it's funny because, like, this is the... Speaking of, like, active jobs, this is the first job where I've actually been able to not have my Adderall. And I, like, the greenhouse before this and the shop before this, I needed it because... It was always managers and bosses being like, you're not on task or you're interrupting yourself. Whereas the farm I'm at now, they're like, we understand what's going on. You do really well. And so you're able to like drop stuff and come back to it. Like we've worked on a system. So like, I'm happy for that.
Cause
if it wasn't for that, I'd have to take it.
Add another check to the Christine probably just has undiagnosed ADHD. Cause I'm the same way where like, I'll be working on 7 things at once. And I work really well of like, I'll start this and then I'll move and go and do this and then I'll come back and do this and then I'll go around to do this.
Yep. I will do that, but I'll forget.
Yeah.
Like I forget.
Oh, my notepad's my best friend. Write it down.
And I can't, like, I'll write it down and then I'll lose the notepad. Like it'll be under a pile of things that I already started.
I'm a visual person, so I do my walkthroughs of our farm and I'll have like 4 or 5 things going at once. And it's funny because my boss will be like, we're fine with it because... You get everything done at the same time. She's like, you may be doing 10 things at once, but it all wraps up at the same time and it's perfect. I'm like, great. that's what I need to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's a struggle, but it's also like, you know, it's what I was thinking about. Like, how did I end up with like the plant groups and stuff like that? And I was like, I think I did because I was just like, I have some friends and I love my friends. And some of my friends are really into gardening, but like a lot of them don't want to hear me info dump about like.
Oh, sure.
Same.
But we love it.
Growing in semi-hydroponics.
We love it here.
Or building my cabinets. Or like whatever, you know, like.
Yeah, I think for me, it was more of I just didn't have many friends. And I was like, I need friends who are like into what I'm into. And that's how I.
That was another thing,
too. Came across the plant peeps and Kaylin. And I was like, all right, cool. And then she just roped me into, I was like, all right, let's go. I'm along for this
ride.
That
was totally how she was with me, too. Because there was like in the group, like, introduce yourself and whatever. Well, it turns out like we both are into like apparel design stuff and sewing and stuff like that. So like. That kind of started the conversation.
Yeah.
And then it was like, oh, come out to this like meetup thing. And then that's when I met you guys. And I was just like, hi, I'm socially awkward. And I don't know. I can't follow social cues. Can I sit here? But like, I was also at a point where like, I was starting to unmask from like understanding how autism, stuff like that.
Sure.
And like,
that's been me the whole last year.
Which also happened at the same, like at the same time that COVID lockdowns happened. So you guys actually got a really like authentic, like, 99% unmasked version of me.
Oh, nice.
Which is also like, I need to meet people who are into like some of my special interest things that I'm into because some of my other friends, why they love me and they love my quirks and my weirdness, like they don't want to be info dumped on whatever rabbit hole I went down in for 12 hours last night when I was supposed to be sleeping.
Yeah.
You know, like they just don't. And I appreciate you guys for that. Like, it's great. You know, but we could also talk about other stuff.
That's what it was with Kaylin. She's like, I was like, you have this plant, let's do a swap. And so she was shopping through my Instagram and then she's like, oh, I've got that, but it's not doing well. She showed me pictures like, oh, you just need to switch this up. Your soil's not right. And she's like, I got more questions. And that was the start of our conversation that hasn't ended yet.
Yeah.
It's been a few years.
Yeah. That's nice. You're also, you know, you're also one of my birthday, almost twin.
So yeah.
I also appreciate fellow cancers.
Yeah. There's so many cancers in our group, I feel. There was like 3 or 4 birthdays.
Yeah,
like back
there was
to back.
A whole group.
Yeah. Like it was like boom, 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 like right after each other. So that's always fun too.
Yeah.
You know.
Summer babies.
Summer babies.
Best time of year to be born.
All sensitive cancers.
Yeah.
Homebodies.
It's not being sensitive, it's autism.
There's that too. Funny story. I actually saw a friend of mine that was like a friend when I grew up. Like when I was in high school, you know, and she brought her son over and her son has autism and one of his special interests is astrology. So he knows, he's like 10, like the sun, moon and rising signs of like everybody he knows.
Oh, wow.
And like all the characteristics of it. And he was just so cute because he would just like rattle them off or like you give him a birthday and he'd be like, da, 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 you know.
I am that way with mental illnesses. I can look at people and be like, I know you. I know exactly what's going on in your brain. Let's be friends.
Or don't get me on psychology and like true crime. Like I listen to true crime because I like the psychology because that's like my other special interest.
Yeah. People have always been weirded out because I'm always like, this person gives off a bad vibe. And then that person always turns out to be like a terrible, horrible person. Everyone's like, you're so good at this. I'm like, no, I can just read body language really fucking good. I don't know what any of it means, but I know when things are like bad. I'm like,
Well, I think it's like another thing I kind of appreciated, like with the plant group is like, I kind of like, I'll get a vibe off somebody right away, but like there was enough like events that it could be like kind of like a slow burn, like getting to know people and get comfortable with people. Cause I kind of needed that too, which was kind of nice. And like,
that was my thing. I needed to be eased into it. Like I think the first couple hangouts, I don't think I stayed more than 15, 20 minutes into the actual event, but I was there an hour, hour and a half early hanging out with just the few people who would show up early.
Yep.
But now I'm kind of more used to that. Now that I know everybody, I'm a lot more comfortable around everybody.
Yeah.
That, and you guys don't mind if I look off into space while I talk at you.
Oh, no.
No eye contact needed.
Yep. That's like kind of the best when people start to understand that. Like, no, I'm not sketchy. I just don't like making eye contact.
Right.
And that's normal for a lot of people.
I recently had someone who they were asking me a plant question and I was not looking at them and like, can you look at me and show some respect? And so I was like,
what?
Okay. So I like turned and looked and she was explaining her problem. And she's like, so what do I need to do? I was like, I don't know. I was too busy to focus on needing to look you in the eye.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's somebody that I follow on Instagram and she's like a fitness person and she's got autism ADHD and people are constantly like, why don't you smile more? Why don't you smile? And she's like, cause this is my, this is my creepy face. I'm making a really creepy smile. I look like a murderous clown. But I'm like, this is my happy face.
That's crazy.
I was gonna say, if you think I am angry, then I'm relaxed. I'm good.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. That's my relax. That's my like,
I'm chill.
Totally approachable face. Yep.
Yeah. I've definitely gotten clocked for having RBF so many times in my life.
Oh yeah. I was born with RBF. That's my mom.
They're like, why are you so mad? I'm like, I'm literally just thinking.
That's why growing up, I just had to smile all the time and I fucking hated it.
Every single human in my family, I think almost on both sides, is like neurodiverse of some flavor. And so like my mom has like realized that she like missed all of the signs because she also didn't know. Mm-hmm. It's also why she did silly things like, here's your first plant and gives me a lithops. And she's like, you don't have to water it very often, but doesn't tell me that like I need light and I'm going into a dorm room, you know, like that kind of stuff where she's just like be into my thing with me and then but like doesn't realize that I like wasn't all the way into that thing yet. But now, you know, like we actually kind of nerd out about plant stuff.
Nice.
I went over to her house and she has like two boxes of syngonium like cuttings that somebody gave her, like all different like rare kinds, and they're just like sitting on her stove.
Nice.
And somebody just gave her at a garage sale. Same thing like with my pet turtle. She's like, here, you need a pet turtle? And I'm like, okay, because at that time I couldn't have a cat. I didn't tell me anything about lighting or any of that kind of stuff, which, you know, it's all a lot like plants.
All right.
So when it comes to plants and giving them away, I'm like, take this. And be like, well, how do I take care of it? I was like, figure it out. If you kill it, it's not my problem.
Yeah.
There's that too. Go learn something.
I do that thing where as soon as a plant is out of my hands and no longer in my possession, I don't care. It's just a flip that switches like, oh, it's a really rare, like $10,000 plant. I need to take care of it. I'm so stressed. Hand off to you. I don't care anymore.
Right.
Done.
Yeah.
It's not mine.
I am definitely one of those people who's just like, I'm over you. Trash.
Yeah. Yep.
And like, I know a lot of people aren't though. They're like, oh my God, it's a life. You have to give it to somebody, donate it. I'm like, I don't have the spoons to do that. Nope. It's going in the bin.
Kind of like the people who rescue plants. Good on you for doing that. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to.
Right? And sometimes like, I do that.
So if I see a plant that's like in rough shape where it's like, I could fix that pretty easily. And that's one I've been looking for. So that's a good price. I'm like, I'll take it.
Yeah.
I'll recoup it just because like it's a cheap something that I already want.
Yeah. It's so funny because if like Adrian watches me while I'm pitching stuff and he's like, you're just going to throw it away. I'm like, do you want to take care of it?
Mm-hmm.
I sure as hell don't.
Yeah, I've had people over the years help me whittle down my collection and I'll just be throwing stuff away. Like, you could take cuttings and make so much money just by selling these. I'm like, yes.
Then I have to deal with the people that I'm trying to sell to.
Exactly.
But the emotional, expense of having to do that is not worth it to me.
Correct.
I think the last time I sold a bunch of plants all at once, I told people, I'm like, pickup is on this day.
Yeah.
And I had like 20 people buy a bunch of stuff.
Catherine
no did. One showed up on the day.
See, that's like, don't.
And I was like, you know what? I think I canceled like half of my refunded their money. Mm-hmm. It's like, I'm not doing this. And they got angry because they're like, oh, I wanted to come get that. I'm like, you didn't show up on the day I told you.
Right. It's I was like, just about to say, because like Catherine did that recently when she did a massive sale. She was like, I will be at this Home Depot parking lot from this hour to this hour on this day. Come and get your stuff. And I was like, I should just start doing that.
Yeah.
Well, or I always like when I buy something from somebody, because I don't sell very often. Like, I'll, you know, I'm just like, here's the cutting you said you didn't want. That I knew you kind of did want anyway. But like, I usually, when I buy something, I like immediately respond. I'm like, here are the times that I know I'm available and I pay for it right away to like, be like, I am serious. I'm going to come get this from you. Yeah. Like, tell me what time you want me to be there. Mm-hmm. And then I'm really like, I don't commit to it. There was one time I had to change it because I got COVID.
Oh, sure.
And it was with Gabby. And it was the first time I actually ever bought a plant online. And I was just like, I have COVID. I'm so sorry. I'll be there.
Yeah.
You know, and she was totally cool with it because I'd already paid for it and everything. So like, you know, if you're going to buy or like take, you know, get something, and most people have been really cool.
Yeah.
Where they're just like, they do the same thing. They're like, I'll come get it. Cause I do give stuff away a lot, you know, cause I'm just like, if you want it, come get it.
Yeah. Are you in the US? You're in the US Hoya group, right?
Yeah. And that like,
I can't even buy things.
They're so fast.
No, they're so fast. And those sellers are so like, if you don't message me and pay within an hour, it's gone. And I'm like, I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been really, love it. When I've been doing that lately, that's what I've been doing, where it's like, I don't want to deal with stuff. So it's like, you're doing it on my terms. And like you said, when I buy plants, I do the thing where I'm like, I'm available on these days. Do any of them work? And if they work, I immediately send over money and I expect people to do the same for me.
Right. Yeah. I treat people the way that I would expect to be, I want to be treated when I'm, if I was on the other side of the transaction.
Right.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
So, and then, you know, so far it works, you know, I meet cool people.
Yeah. And that's
Pam
why
came over the other day. She was great. She was like, I want some things. I'll be there at this time, you know?
Yeah. I love Pam.
I will say, though, on the days where I'm like, you need to be picking up on this day, if you've already paid for it, I am more likely to reschedule because it's like, you've already paid for it and I know you're going to come get it.
Yeah.
I can be a little flexible, but it's going to be on my schedule.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
At that point.
Absolutely. Like, if you pay for it up front, then I feel like you're committed.
Yeah. Because, like, I believe you should accommodate people to an extent, but just because you need accommodations doesn't mean you're entitled to them necessarily.
Mm-hmm. Are you guys going to do a garage sale again?
I was just thinking about that a couple days ago because someone, one of our listeners, when we had the plant chat with Catherine, I brought up the fall Hoya event and one of our listeners thought that was something we were hosting and they were really interested. So I was like, man, maybe we should do a plant sale or a garage sale again.
Yeah, I was thinking
successful, right?
It was.
Yeah, I was thinking of setting up something in my driveway because like we got a lot of space out there because I don't have room for everything to come back in. I was thinking of I'm thinking about it. Maybe having a table and having some other people be like, hey, if you guys want to sell stuff, I'm just going to hang out and get rid of stuff.
Yeah, you have a great driveway for
having two, three. You probably get like four or five tables out there.
Well, we can get a lot out there.
Sure.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking about it. Maybe we'll talk about it.
Let's do it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, let me, because I'm like, there are some things I'm just like, oh, if I need to keep those. But if you guys are going to do them, then I would hang on to them for a little while. And they'll probably be bigger plants and I'll move. So,
yeah, my big issue this year was it's like, I have a pot of 30 seedlings that turned into 20 pots.
Yeah.
So it's like, great.
Well, and I haven't really been propagating stuff, but if we like booked something, I'd be a little more.
Yeah, that would too, because like there's definitely some things I could cut.
Yeah.
And if I knew I was going to move them, then I'll cut them. But if not, then I'll probably just let them keep trailing.
Right.
So I was thinking, if anything, that'd probably be August would be the latest we'd probably want to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, last year we did right around Labor Day.
Early September.
You guys did it on September 9th because that was my brother's birthday. And I was out of town for his birthday. And I was like, I wanted to go. And I was like, oh, well, never mind.
Yeah. 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 If you guys find one, let me know because I will definitely be more organized this time.
Cool.
I got pots I got
officially
go to
unofficial rough around the hedges garage sale coming soon.
Yep. If I didn't live in a townhouse, I'd volunteer my driveway, but.
Oh, yeah. You know, yeah.
We can't do that.
I could probably. We have like a little, we have like a cul-de-sac, like a circle that branches off into like the private roads. I don't think my neighbors would be too pissed off if we did it there, but.
Yeah.
Our cul-de-sac crew doesn't really care what I do as long as I'm not causing problems outside of loud hours.
Yeah.
You know, respect for your neighbors.
Sure.
Oh, yeah. We're friends with all of them.
Yeah.
We've known, aside from our neighbor right next door to us, we've all lived here for 10 plus years. So it's like we all know each other. Yeah. We talk.
Yeah. Yeah. I live in a newer neighborhood. So like about half of us know each other.
Yeah. There have been several times where our neighbors have called the cops on us because we're trying to break into our own house. Like, we were just concerned because someone was trying to break into your house. Like, no, we appreciate that. It was us breaking in, but thank you for calling the cops.
Oh, I'm having flashbacks to being like a teenager. And like sneaking out of my house and getting into trouble because like people were like, somebody's breaking into your house. I'm like, no, that was just me.
Wow, the cops would just bring me home. They would put me in the back of the car and they'd bring me home to my dad. And as my dad would be talking to the cops, I'd be walking out the back door.
Yeah. I never had to, my parents were pretty chill. I never had to sneak out, but I definitely accidentally got locked out.
Yeah, I didn't really have rules, so I just did whatever I wanted.
Yeah. I don't know. I had a good time. Yeah. Say that.
With the freedom I had, I could have gotten in a lot of trouble.
Sure.
But yeah. I was a good kid.
Yeah, I was actually a pretty good kid. Yeah,
I only got arrested a couple times.
Oh, my God. Oh, my goodness. I can't say that I've been arrested.
Yeah, that's not a...
Well, arrested as in...
Back of the cop car, but not...
Back of the cop car, like, what? How old are you? Like, I'm not telling you. All right, get in the car. We're taking you home. Yeah. The worst part is all the cops knew us because they're familiar with my family. I'm like, I hate this. Yeah.
You've never been booked, though?
No.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Never got that far.
Yeah.
I think the closest I probably would have gotten, I think I was, like, they were coming to bust a rave when I was in Detroit. And then all of a sudden there was, like, gang activity. And they were like, okay, we're going to go, you know, downtown Detroit. Not some place I probably should have been hanging out, but we were also illegally in a warehouse. So, yeah.
Sure.
I hung out with all the hoodlums and troublemakers. So it was like, I just got lumped in with them, but it took about 6-7 years. But the cops were like, this one doesn't do anything bad. They're just here. Like, that's pretty much it. I was like, I just have nothing better to do.
It's like my husband. My husband, who's like the most like straight, like doesn't drink, never smoked, like anything, but he just hung out with all of the punks and cross punks and stuff. So he was just like, he's got these stories, you know, like where we got a fight and lose or stuff. Yeah. Because he was just there and like all of a sudden a fight broke out or whatever. I got punched because I happened to be just be in this place. Yeah. But I mean, you've met Mark. He's like the most super chill, like super nice person.
That's how I was a straight-ish kid, didn't smoke, didn't drink, but I hung out with all the punks because the punks were the nicest people.
They are. They're like the nicest people. And great kids were too.
Yeah. They might have attitudes, but they're like, hey, you don't have anyone else to hang out with. Come sit with us. We don't care. I'm like, all right, cool. Yeah, that's totally how I ended up with them.
Totally.
Tying up with my best friend, Courtney. Yeah. 20 years I've been her friend.
Wow.
Sure.
She's just as weird as me, though.
I love it.
I was going to say, we should pause this. Plan of the week, and then we can hit another episode.
Oh, God. Plan of the week.
Plan of the week.
I got one.
Sure.
I'm going to go with my Deuna Duel that's putting out a new leaf for the first time in 2 years.
Nice.
Actually taking care of it and it's growing.
What is a Deuna Duel?
It's a cycad.
Okay. Cool. Mine's going to be, I talked about earlier, my little Hoya Rotunda Flora. That was one that I was like, okay, sure, I'll buy it because everyone else seems to really want them. Mm-hmm. But as it's been growing for me, it's got a really fun, cool little like oval fuzzy leaf shape that
Are you going to let yours trail or are you going to trellis?
It's currently trailing just because I've been lazy and haven't put a trellis in it.
Okay.
I'll probably eventually trellis.
Okay.
Just for space.
Yeah. I haven't decided what I'm going to do with mine yet. But yeah, it's cute. I'm going to say, and I'm going to totally botch the pronounce, my Cerestes mirabilis. Which is the one that has like the arrowhead and like the crazy swirly, and I'll put a picture of it, like, coloring on it, and it kind of—it's
one of those weird houseplants that you don't see all the time, but when you see it, it sticks
it's
in your
stunning. It's, yeah, and like when they get really big, they lose the color; they start to be a little dark. It's like more tonal, like darker, but like I just grabbed it. There isn't a lot of information out there about it, so I'm just like, I'm just going to wing it, threw it in some pond, like literally just like brought it home, threw it in pond, threw it in my cabinet. And this thing has just been super easy. I've like yanked it out of my cabinet, yanked it in my cabinet, keeps pushing out leaves. They size up. They're gorgeous.
Nice.
So yeah, I'll probably share that one out because a lot of people, I saw one at the conservatory when I was in Michigan and it looked really good. Like, you know, with all the other stuff. So.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, thank you everybody for tuning in on this one, and we will see you in the next one. Stay rough.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Bye-bye.